retired detective Sergeant Darren Birch, author of Twisted But True, escorts you through a zone, the Badge Zone, where stories from those behind the badge range from the bizarre to the supernatural. Welcome to a place of strange happenings, as you're about to enter the Badge Zone.
Are you a ghost too?
I'm the ghost with the most, babe. You know, you look like somebody I can relate to. Maybe you could help me get out of here, you know, because I gotta tell you, this death thing, it's just too creepy. See, here's my problem. I got these friends on the outside that I said I'd meet, you know, and that's the kind of thing I have to be there in person, you know. So I was just wondering, could you help me get out of here?
I don't want to get in.
Why? Well, you know, hey, you probably got your reasons, but the thing is, I can't do anything from over here. If you could get me out over there, then maybe we could talk or something. But, you know, in order to do that, you got to say my name 3 times.
What's your name?
Well, I can't tell you.
Why not?
You know why? Because if I tell you, you tell your friends. Your friends are calling me on the horn all the time. I got to show up at shopping centers for openings and sign autographs and shit like that. And it makes my life a hell, okay? A living hell. But maybe if you have a pen, maybe we can... Oh, I know. You can play charades.
Yeah.
Ah, good, good. Ah, here we go then. Ready?
2 words.
Right. Ah.
First word, 2 syllables.
You know, just turn. No.
I don't know what your signal means.
Turn around and look behind you. Hi, how are you?
Beetle.
God, okay. Now, 2. Take one.
Breakfast, orange beetle, beetle fruit, beetle breakfast, beetle drink. Beetle juice?
Yes, that's it!
Name's Beetlejuice?
Ah, you said it twice. Just say it once more. Come on.
It was you, wasn't it?
Me?
The snake.
No, what snake, you kids, in your imagination? Just say it!
I want to talk to Barbara.
No, you don't need the Barbara. Just say it!
Well, I'll say it. It's Beetlejuice. That was an extra long clip. I know. I apologize. I just love that movie. I'm excited about that.
Beetlejuice.
I'll do it. I want him. I would love to see Michael Keaton right here.
Right.
He's the second best guest I can think of. The first best guest I have is retired Chicago police officer Ron Ruffo, who I met on the Badge Boys when his book Breaking the Bears came out. But this is a prolific writer. So why am I talking about Ron Ruffo and Beetlejuice? Of all his books, and there's a lot, American Institute of Stress Management, he was a fellow at. His first book was Sexual Predator, Amongst Us. He's wrote a book called Criminal Profiling. Police Suicide is Police Culture Killing Our Officers. And like I said, Breaking the Barriers. And he has a new book called Stay Safe, Be Aware and Prepared at Home, Work, and the Street. Great books. I highly recommend it. But he's not here to talk about really his books, these great books. I will. I will. Damn straight I will. At the end of the show, I'll tell you right where you can get them. Great, great literature. This is truly a prolific writer. I kind of joke with you, Robin. I say, yeah, I'm an author, but I'm no writer. This is a writer. This guy can write. But we're going to talk to him about a Bloody Mary. Like in Beetlejuice, you say it 3 times, Beetlejuice appears. There's movies where they talk about, you look in the mirror and you say Bloody Mary in the dark 3 times, and you can see her in the mirror. There's a paranormal movie based on it.
Yes.
But with the new Beetlejuice coming out, I had to go with Beetlejuice. I just had to.
Why not, right?
Yes.
Nobody doesn't like Michael Keaton.
Thank you. Thank you. So on the back end of this commercial break, Rob and I are going to take, we're going to have Ron Ruffo join us, and he's going to talk about this very creepy cemetery right out of Beetlejuice. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Badge Zone. We'll be back right after this. If you like The Badge Zone, you'll love their books, starting with Darren's award-winning Twisted But True book trilogy, with close to 100 compelling and funny true crime stories.
that American Detectives with Lieutenant Joe Kenda producer called the perfect blend of humor, heroism, and honor. And retired Colonel Dave Grossman declared, Darren's Twisted But True books are hilarious, deep, and powerful. Each book in the series received the Pinnacle Award for the Best True Crime Book, and a story from Book 2 was featured on an ID Channel television show. And Robin's most recent book, Soul Stirrings, reviewed as an often humorous and spiritually uplifting story of a widow's soul-searching pilgrimage to the afterlife. Darren called it a love story, a ghost story, an investigative story. It's a story like no other. And Robin's first book, Victim No More, where she shares her harrowing experiences with rape and domestic violence as Robin takes the reader on a very personal journey through the morass of abuse and loss, and ultimately, survival. These Badge Zone books should be on everybody's top 10 reading lists. And now, back to the Badge Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. I absolutely am so excited to talk to you, Ron. Again, 22 years with Chicago Police Department, highly decorated, life-saving award, meritorious service award, and over 100 letters of commendations. And that's just, the tip of the iceberg. So I want to first seriously thank you for your service to Chicago. They need officers, detectives like you, especially now. I can't even imagine what it's like right now as an officer there walking the beat. And again, congratulations on your newest book. I know it's not out yet, but I'm very excited about it. Stay safe, be aware, and prepared at home, work, and the streets. This is a book for everybody. So kudos to you and all you've done in that literary world. But I would love to talk to you about a certain cemetery in Chicago. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Hi, Darren. Let me say hi first. And Robin, good to talk to you again. Darren, this is pretty famous in Chicago, and it's really... They named Bloody Mary for a drink, but her real name that they have for this is Resurrection Mary, because she appears on Archer Avenue in Chicago on that street. It's like a small,
South Side
Chicago. Resurrection Cemetery is there, but it's about a 3-block area, maybe 2 blocks total, where people say that they see her image when they're driving by there. And it's a young blonde who is about 20-30 years old, from what folklore has, that back in the 20s or 30s, that when dancing was popular and going out to, speakeasies were the rage because alcohol was prohibited,
the hot flapper girls
and everything, right? So this girl supposedly got into a car with a gentleman. This is I'm telling you from what I know from Resurrection Mary. But what happens, she gets in the car, gets in an accident, she dies, and supposedly has been buried in Resurrection Cemetery, but her ghost lives when people drive there. And I've heard this numerous times, even before I ever made it to the South Side to Resurrection Cemetery for a funeral or, to visit someone or whatever, to pay my respects. And every time I say I'm going to Resurrection Hospital, this young lady is mentioned, Resurrection Mary, that way. So
interesting how, this isn't necessarily, a story that you've experienced yourself, but is so well known in that Chicago area that yourself and tell me if I'm wrong, that other officers know of this story. Is this something common, or did you just, find out about it, under the radar, if you will?
It's pretty common. It's pretty common, especially for a lot of people on the South Side of Chicago, I believe more than the North Side. But a lot of South Side people know it, especially when they hear Resurrection Cemetery. Boy, let me tell you about Resurrection Mary. It happened numerous times that people have spoke to me about it, I heard about it. I have never personally experienced seeing her ghost out there, but some people that I know have. And I'm like, they said, Ron, it's true. I've seen it. She's out there.
And how long has this been? How long has this been going on? When did you first kind of hear about the story? Again, 22 years, you've been retired now, a handful. So is this something that you heard about early on in your career or latter part? And then if you would also describe this cemetery, because just the title of, you know, Resurrection sounds, I don't know, kind of creepy. I'm picturing an old school cemetery. Am I right? Or, well, if
it is,
okay,
it
please.
Is. All please. The headstones are up there. In fact, there's a cemetery on both sides of Archer Avenue, and it is pretty dreary at night. Believe me, it's dark. It's not well lit as it should be personally when you're driving down there. So I believe a lot of people feel that she's there within this small little scan, a small little section of Archer Avenue.
That is actually
I probably heard about this in the 90s when I first came on the job. So that's when I heard about it. I was not a Southsider. I always lived north, but my career began on the south side of Chicago. So
gotcha. When you say kind of old school, and obviously 1930s, if that's the era that she was born in, but this is like a turn of the century. And the next question I have for you on top of that is, Chicago is a great city, the Windy City, for movies. A lot of movies are out of Chicago. Has this ever been depicted in a film that you're aware of?
Well, I know it's been on a few B-list movies, horror movies anyway. I know it was on Unsolved Mysteries once that I heard of or that I know about. And there's a lounge, I believe it's called Chet's Melody Lounge. I don't know if it's still there. It's on Archer Avenue. And every Sunday, they have a Bloody Mary tribute to her salute to her with a Bloody Mary at the end of the bar and for her. So it's every Sunday. I have never been there, but I know of it. But I wish I was there during that. But maybe I'll go to Sunday. I can't. It's Easter. But maybe I'll go one Sunday.
Wow. Speak of Resurrection.
I can let you know on that one.
Yeah, speaking of Resurrection, that'd be a heck of a day. It's this cool story. I just, when I heard you talk about it in passing one time, I thought we got to have Ron on it and kind of talk about it. But we'll do an open invite to any Chicago PD that would like to come on if they either received a call, because you're saying that people drive by, see it, and then, of course, they do the call in. It's just bizarre how that would be something that a radio call. I've seen a lot of weird radio calls in my 30 years. I've never seen "We have a ghost in a cemetery" radio call. That's absolutely freaky.
Well, to be honest with you, Darren, the messages that I'm hearing in my head, whoever it is telling me she's just wandering around aimlessly because she felt like her life was cut too short too soon, and she really liked where she lived, and she doesn't want to leave. And it's not a bad spirit. It's a sad spirit.
Interesting.
She's sad because she doesn't want to leave. And I don't think, I could be wrong. I don't know if he's heard any stories, but I don't think she's been mean.
Or scaring people intentionally.
Or scaring people. She's just.
A vision.
She's hanging on because she doesn't want to let go. She loved parts of her life, but she died too young.
So back to you, Ron, is that something that kind of registers as accurate in terms of, she's not out there scaring little kids and the calls are just of this presence?
Correct. I agree with Robin 100%. I believe that her life was cut too short, and she was, from what I understand, involved in a hit and run, and that her life ended way too short. She was a beautiful young blonde woman, again, who liked to dance, going to a speakeasy, a bar. I believe bars weren't existent that time, but maybe underground, who knows?
Sure, Prohibition.
But that's what I believe with exactly what Robin said, that her life might have been cut too short. I don't think it was to scare anybody. They just see her vision or her presence when they're driving down Ogden Avenue.
Well, hopefully some of the brothers and sisters with the Chicago PD hearing this might give us a call and come on the show to kind of share maybe their experience. Again, whether it's a radio call or, OV, because, every piece of that beautiful city is somebody's beat. So there's probably a beat officer, you know, out there that may have some stories themselves. Speaking of beat officers, one thing I like about this show that Robin and I do is we can talk about Sixth Sense, we can talk about supernatural, we can talk about spirituality, we can talk things that most people don't talk about. And that happened to me in my career. During one time in my career when I was a fairly new sergeant, I found myself going from what we call hot call after hot call, emergency crimes in progress. The only thing that is kind of unusual is I would be there before the call came out, 10 times in a row, literally over 10 times because I stopped counting and it just got kind of freaky for me. But I never kind of told the story because it's kind of weird. You know, that sixth sense of just, now you could, you, again, I'm that, open-minded skeptic. So I always look for a wash on these things. And, you know, that may just be a cop knowing their beat, knowing those problem areas. But it's just kind of weird when you might have, you know, 20 hot calls any given night, and the first 10, I'm there before the call comes out. Have you ever experienced anything like that or anything similar?
While you're saying that, it came to mind for one thing that happened to me. I was a speaker with the Chicago Police Department, and I was in an unmarked squad going to speak at a beat meeting or a CAPS meeting, as we call it, or a senior center or something. I don't remember where I was speaking, but I was on my way there. And I listen to the radio all the time when I'm driving, and the police radio. And all of a sudden I hear a burglary in progress while I'm driving, and it's the exact address where I'm at, just similar to what your hot calls. You had 10. This was the only one that I had, but it was, I said, oh my God, it's here. So I called the dispatcher and I said, listen, I'm unmarked squad, plain clothes. I'm here now. I'm going up. She did say, why don't you wait for another unit? But hardhead as I am, and I went up without backup. I had my gun drawn, and here I got the guy burglarizing a home.
In progress,
I think it was,
yeah,
the second floor. So I was at the right place at the right time. Sometimes that just happens, but I was fortunate enough that I even got an award for it because I caught the burglar. So,
sure, yeah. That's definitely courageous, and like you, most cops, we can totally relate to the idea that we're not going to sit and wait. Well, something bad is happening somewhere.
That was a good thing. I was pretty proud.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, buddy. You know, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about your books. They are Breaking the Barriers. I just love that book. That's why we had you on Badge Boys. But, you know, you're a prolific writer, truly. Your books are easy read, and they're so interesting in all the different genres. You know, the sexual predator amongst us, you know, clearly the, you know, those predators you talk very chillingly about, the criminal profiling, which you co-wrote I want to say a doctor, if I'm right, then police suicide, yes. Breaking the barriers in terms of, you know, the media and now Stay Safe. So tell us a little bit about Stay Safe and what was your inspiration to write that and where we can get it.
Okay. You can get it on Amazon to get the book. I started with the Chicago Police Department, I was fortunate to be in the 9th Police District, and I had a great commander who was in the Preventive Programs Unit, which is the Speakers Unit. And I wanted to go to, while I was 40 in the academy, so I was a little bit older, and I wanted to, while I was still a little younger, to go to a unit that was citywide, like a tech team unit, plain clothes, but would go to high crime areas. So he said, Ron, he says, I've seen you at CAPS meetings. I've seen you speaking there. He said, I think it would be better if you went to preventive programs because you're outgoing, you know how to talk to people, and this is a great opportunity for you because you'll be on days, you'll have weekends off, holidays off, and you have your own squad car. He said, Ron, you're silly if you don't do it. I said, boss, if you think that's the right thing for me, I trust you. He was so highly regarded within the police department. I said, I am going to listen to you and to do what you say. And I think that was the best thing that ever happened, because with that, I did a lot of programs, over 300 a year.
Wow.
When it came to prevention. Yes, we talked about burglary, robbery, home invasion, bank teller training, landlord tenant training, anything that helps the community be safe. And we actually started doing, one of the guys in my unit did what they call it was a security survey. And with that is we'd actually, people would say, hey, can you come by my house, look at my house and tell me how safe I am in my home. And this guy was a wonderful man. He retired. And when he retired, because I went with him so much, I started getting the security survey calls. And it started small, but it ended up where I was called probably 2, 3, 4 times a week going to people's homes and walking the homes and say, listen, you have a brick here. They can use that. A burglar could use that. Or, I would better locks on your doors, better locks on your windows. Just different things where they would be become more aware. And it got to the point of I hooked up with another officer who knew burglars that were rehabilitated, that wanted to do the correct thing because they did the wrong thing for so long. Because now we started doing meetings. We started probably with 20 people with the burglars. After a while, my meetings got to be 200-300 people.
Wow.
They would listen to the burglars about what they looked for, what they did. And then I would come on and say, what it would kind of reaffirm what they would say. And a lot of what's in my book on Stay Safe is the programs that I initiated with the Chicago Police Department. I not only started a lot of them, but I brought other officers on to take my place because I knew I'd be retiring at a certain point in my life. So, that's pretty much it.
The book is available on Amazon, at bookstores, that sort of thing?
Amazon, it just came out. It just came out, Darren. So probably less than a month now, but Amazon does have it. And I hope if anybody comes over, I did a presentation last week for the 100 Club. I had some with me, and I'm so grateful for everybody that wanted both books. So I was able to sign my Breaking the Barriers and my Stay Safe. I'm just fortunate enough if I could just help one or two people. That is my goal. If I can prevent one officer from committing suicide or one person from getting robbed or burglarized or whatever.
Especially in Chicago. Oh my God.
It's all worth it.
Yeah, good for you. And like I said, especially Chicago. My God, it should be mandatory reading for every resident of Chicago and New York and some of these other big cities where you do see, a high degree of violent crimes. Right. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. I always say at the end of my show, until next week, stay safe. But now all I can say when I close the show is until next week, read Stay Safe, the book by Ron Ruffo. Ron, thank you so much, my friend.
Darren, thank you. Robin, I appreciate both of you. I hope you guys have a happy Easter and a safe Easter. So thank you for including me. I enjoy being with you all the time. So thank you.
Thank you, brother. And that does it for our Badge Zone. Until next week, like I said, stay safe with Be Aware and Prepared at home, work, and the street.
Thanks for listening. This week's journey into the Badge Zone is coming to an end. But join Darren next time as we delve deeper into the zone. The Badge Zone.